Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Some days I feel really strange, you know, going about my life while this massacre is occurring in the Ukraine. I'm reminded, can't remember what year it was, the Democratic Convention, where Abby Hoffman and all the radicals and everyone else were demonstrating in Chicago, and they kept screaming the same thing over. The whole world's watching. The whole world's watching. And this is close to my heart. I truly feel that the whole world is watching these poor people getting massacred, and everybody's just kind of giving money and giving weapons, but it's not enough. And I get the whole World War III thing, but I think that at some point you're going to get to that stalemate, and Putin will probably back down. And I know that's not what this podcast is supposed to be about, but I read something the other day that the Euro group of countries spends €38 billion a day buying oil from Russia, and they spend $1 billion a day supporting the Ukraine with military and stuff like that. And those numbers got to get switched. And there's a kernel of the message there about the bullying, and eventually you're going to have to stand up to the bullying. And whether it's in this type of case, which is just horrific, absolutely horrific, watching what they've done, what human beings can do to other human beings, we all have to stand up to bullies. And there's a great amount of fear in doing that, but we all have to find a way to do it. That's that. I'm sick and saddened by that. So I know I keep talking about this shortage of workers and this dichotomy between the unemployment rate and what's really going out there, the great resignation. But every single person I ask the question to, are you having trouble hiring workers, says yes. For the love of me, if somebody's got the answer where all these people have gone, and I continue to argue for a great immigration boom so that these jobs can get filled. But, you know, I'm looking around Dallas, and honestly, I don't know what it's like back home in Toronto, but, you know, throughout the United States, this thing continues on. So, you know, the only thought that I'm really left with is the power shift continues to the employee, and not in a nefarious way, but continue to sort of stand up for your rights and be forthcoming about what you want. There seems to be, and some organizations are better than others about this, but there seems to be a willingness to start to recognize that, you know, we need to listen to people a little more, right? When we think about all of this innovation that's occurring everywhere, and you ask yourself the question, you know, why doesn't innovation occur like that in these big monoliths? And, you know, if you want to take banking as a great example, that it's very hard for organizations to cannibalize themselves. Very, very, very difficult, because they have an asset that has worked for time immemorial. And there are lots of companies that have gone the way of the dodo bird because they didn't cannibalize themselves, like BlackBerry, Palm, Nokia, like all the phone companies. And yet the greatest lesson in the world is from Apple. Apple realized that the minute they launch a product, they have to cannibalize that product and improve it, because if they don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. So nobody else tries to improve on the iPhone. Everybody tries to do something different than the iPhone, whether it's a flip or this, but nobody takes the iPhone and tries to make it better for themselves, because they know that Apple's probably got 10 versions of the iPhone in their track, just waiting launch date for the iPhone 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And every innovation is just that one step better. It's a rare breed of organization. It's a rare breed of leadership that can actually think in that way, that can actually release the people, recognize that they don't know what they don't know. And that's what really fintech does, right? Is they say there's a better way to do this. Most of the times they can't get it done because of a regulatory environment, but eventually it does take place. I remember years ago, I was coaching one of the CEOs at one of the financial institutions, and I used to go to see them in January, all of them. And I would give them my January tip, not how to lose weight or anything, but my January tip of thoughts. And I said to one of them, you know, if I was in your position, I'd take about 5,000 square feet in another building, in another part of town, take the smartest and talented young people within your institution, and then I'd bring a whole bunch of people from the outside, and I'd warehouse them in this building, and I would give them every business that you perform, ask them to figure out how to disintermediate that business. Who's doing it now? Who looks like they're going to be doing it? And if no one's doing it, how would you disintermediate it? Because, you know, my view at the time, and it still is that sometimes we just can't improve ourselves. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need strength. Sometimes we need courage. You know, at the end of the day, the senior people of these organizations, you know, they don't want to tamper too much with what's working because they're there for a limited amount of time, whether it's 5 to 10 years, and the money's good. It's very few people that are brave enough to take a different course, right? Steady as she goes, don't get off the line too far. That's the sort of general motto, I think, for most organizations. And over a period of time, it's served them extremely well. And there is the case of people that believe this too shall pass, right? We've seen this before. But the question is, how critical are you of your own organization, right? Can you really honestly and fairly look at it and say, someone's eating our lunch? And it's either okay, because we got so much lunch, it doesn't matter. They're just having the crumbs. Or it's not okay, and we either need to squash them, we need to buy them, or we need to reinvent ourselves in any one of those things. I know there's not enough of those discussions that go on. And so the question I sort of have for people is it going on at your firm, at your department, or is it sort of steady as it is, just stay on the assembly line, put the four bolts into the front right tire, just, you know, as my brother-in-law Jay likes to say, just stay in your lane, right? Just stay in your lane. And life is much simpler, stay in your lane. Trust me, I've spent 50 some years staying out of my lane, and it's never easy, but it's been more colorful and more fun and more rewarding in many ways and less rewarding in others. So I guess you have to determine, which person are you? Are you that person that just, look, this is just all too much for me. If that's what they want to do, that's okay with me. Or are you that person that just, it's just irritated by it. Like you just want more, right? You see opportunity. And either they're not listening, or maybe you haven't presented it in a way for them to listen. I just had this conversation with someone today, and he wants to talk to someone. And I said, well, why don't you put some ideas together on a piece of paper, and then I'll send it to that person, and we'll use that as the teaser. So they've got a little bit of time in advance to read it and sort of go, yeah, this is kind of interesting, gather some information themselves. And if they're interested, they'll come to that meeting in a much better place. And this is one of the things that, I'm going to digress here just for a second. People have a tendency to be afraid of sending stuff in advance. You know, when you send things in advance, there is two possibilities. One, you could piss people off, or they look at it and they go, okay, that's great. This puts me in a better position to have a conversation. I prefer the latter. In my experience, in my experience with coaching people, I've never had anybody say to me, not once say to me, that was a bad idea. Every single person has come back from those meetings and said, you know, Jim, they really appreciated that I sent it in advance. And I said, well, who the fuck wouldn't? Like, for sure, right? Like, if it's going to be bad news, I'd rather know early. And if it's good news, then I'd rather know early. And I'd rather have a time to prepare. It never ceases to amaze me. Again, I go back to it all the time. Fear, 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 fear. Fear of what? Fear of nothing. There's nothing to be afraid of. The truth will set you free. Whatever the answer is, you're a winner. So take that moment, right? Like, take that moment. I guess I forgot to ask at the beginning, how many people asked the question last week about, you know, what they're afraid of asking the question about. If you did, send me a note or write it up on my board on LinkedIn, because I'd really like to know how it went. But back to this point about innovation coupled with fear, it's the only way, right? You just have to get over that hurdle. So the question to ask yourself for this week is, what's my company doing that I think they should be doing differently? And what are my ideas on how they should do them differently, and articulate them, put them in a package, and send them to someone and say, I have this idea. I think we could do a better job of doing this, or I think we could do this differently. But the main point there is, I am thinking. And I think you'll be quite surprised and quite encouraged by people's responses. Of course, there'll be dinosaurs that'll go, this is the way we've done it for 100 years and it seems to work, but don't let them get in your way. Push through, drive through. As we say, continue to be you. The world will adjust. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.